I was announced to be preaching tonight, at least I think I was, but circumstances have brought my long-time friend, Frank McClelland, to Greenville. Dr. Paisley, because of the declaration of war on Iraq by Britain and America, has had to stay in Europe. Things are happening there. There was an important vote in the House of Commons, of which he's a member. And there is a move afoot, we are told, in the European Union, the European Parliament, to censure Great Britain for supporting the American war effort and going to war with them. And he felt that he should be there if that arose. So he was not able to come to Bible conference. And BJ asked Dr. McClelland to come down in his place. I'm delighted about that. I'm glad that he's able to be with us. As I say, I was to be preaching. I undertook that in good faith. But I must say, I'm very happy that I don't have to preach tonight. The 2 weeks in Northern Ireland were weeks with very, very little sleep. Jet lag is always a problem, but this time it was worse than ever. And most nights we got a maximum of 4 hours sleep. Sometimes it was down to 2 hours, and it got wearisome after a while. And I'm very happy that I had Friday and yesterday to try and get back to normal. So Frank is always welcome here, but particularly tonight. May I say that it's even more a joy to see him again after his recent surgery, to see how well he's looking. Well, now, I don't know about that. Maybe I should change that to how healthy he's looking. Some of us, we're two prime suspects, can never look good, but we can at least look healthy. And it's really good to see Frank looking so well. We were praying for him through his illness and his recovery from surgery, and it's certainly good to see that he's back in good fettle and in preaching form. So I'm going to ask him to come now and bring us the Lord's message.
Thank you, brother, for the kind words of welcome. That he must have got converted when he was over in Ireland, because he's so gracious and he called me his friend. That's nice. The only thing that's bothering me is he mentioned about his lack of sleep. So if you see him sleeping here tonight, would you alert me, please, and we'll see if we can keep him from falling asleep in the middle of the sermon. I don't want him to catch up his sleep at this time. But so good to be here, and for those of you who are not here this morning, I'd like just to express again our thanks for the many prayers on our behalf. You've no idea what a tremendous blessing that was. Because as a minister, we spend our times going out and helping others and encouraging them in their times of sickness and need. And I discovered just what a blessing it is when people care and when people pray. And it certainly gives you tremendous confidence that God is going to answer prayer. So I'd like to thank you, and I trust that the Lord will bless you all as you take your stand for God at this time, especially this very serious situation in the world and in your nation. We do pray with you, and as I told you this morning, despite what our Prime Minister of Canada has done and said, the 67% of the Canadian people in a poll this week expressed their support for the United States. That's 2 out of every 3, just marginally behind your own, which is 76%, 3 out of every 4. We do pray that the Lord will do a mighty work here and will give a speedy end to this conflict, and the Lord will overcome by his glory. I want tonight to read to you one of the most beautiful Psalms, number 34. Psalm number 34, which is to me the antidote to affliction. Psalm number 34, and we'll read it verse number 1. Psalm 34, verse 1. I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. My soul shall make her boast in the Lord. The humble shall hear thereof and be glad. O magnify the Lord with me, and let us exalt his name together. I sought the Lord, and he heard me, and delivered me from all my fears. that they looked unto him and were lightened, and their faces were not ashamed. This poor man cried, and the Lord heard him, and saved him out of all his troubles. The angel of the Lord encampeth round about them that fear him, and delivereth them. O taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man that trusteth in him. O fear the Lord, ye his saints, for there is no want to them that fear him. The young lions do lack and suffer hunger, but they that seek the Lord shall not want any good thing. Come, ye children, hearken unto me. I will teach you the fear of the Lord. What man is he that desireth life and loveth many days, that he may see good? Keep thy tongue from evil, and thy lips from speaking guile. Depart from evil and do good, seek peace and pursue it. The eyes of the Lord are upon the righteous, and his ears are open unto their cry. The face of the Lord is against them that do evil, to cut off the remembrance of them from the earth. The righteous cry, and the Lord heareth, and delivereth them out of all their troubles. The Lord is nigh unto them that are of a broken heart, and saveth such as be of a contrite spirit. Many are the afflictions of a righteous, but the Lord delivereth him out of them all. He keepeth all his bones, not one of them is broken. Evil shall slay the wicked, and they that hate the righteous shall be desolate. The Lord redeemeth the soul of his servants, and none of them that trust in him shall be desolate. And may the Lord bless to our hearts this reading that was only infallible and inspired word. Let's bow for a moment's prayer. Our loving Heavenly Father, we come tonight before thee around the word of the living God. And Father, we pray that thou would close us in with thyself, and focus our minds upon thy word and upon the Lord God omnipotent who reigneth in the kingdoms of men. And Father, we pray this night that our hour might be sweet before thee. We thank thee, Lord, for the singing and the music we have heard. O God, that is but a foretaste of that which we'll enjoy throughout eternity. And Father, we pray this night that thou would draw near and give us a sensible consciousness of the nearness of the Lord. And especially our Father, for those who tonight have problems and difficulties and afflictions and anxieties, O God, may they know again and again that thou hast said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. And Father, we pray that thou would comfort them in the time of need. And Father, we remember the families of those serving men in Iraq, those from this country and those from Britain. And Lord, we think of the sorrow as a knock comes to the door to say that a loved one has been taken away. O God, we pray that thou would comfort those that mourn, and grant, O God, that even the darkness of the hour, they would see the light of the glorious gospel of the Lord Jesus, and come to know him whom to know is life everlasting. Be with us now, we pray, and bless us, and do us good, and speak by thy power, for we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Psalm number 34, as you know, is one of the great psalms of comfort in the whole of the book of Psalms. A great comfort in trying times. Right now, as we saw this morning, and we've been considering, we live in days of international trouble, and also national trouble. But not only do we have the problems and afflictions that come from the present war, but every one of us at different times, we have our own personal crosses to bear and our own personal times of trouble and of difficulty. At those times, Psalm 34 is a tremendous blessing and a tremendous encouragement. Now, it is an alphabetical psalm, that is, that every verse starts with a succeeding letter of the Hebrew alphabet, and that is divided into two parts. Now, the first 10 verses are in the nature of a hymn, or a psalm of praise. And then the latter part is a sermon, where he says, Come ye children, hearken unto me, and I will teach you the fear of the Lord. Now, David wrote this psalm when he himself was in mortal danger. He fled from King Saul before David was finally on the throne of Israel. And he fled, you remember, to the land of Achish, the king of the Philistines. And there David came. He realized that Achish's view was not good, and so David then began to do some sort of military and political maneuver, because he scrabbled in the doors, allowed his spittle to fall on his beard, and played the madman. And so Achish sent him out of his sight, because David was in a position where he could have been killed at that time. Now in this psalm he speaks of my fears. He speaks of his troubles. He speaks of the broken heart. He speaks of the contrite spirit. And he says, many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivered him or her out of them all. And I believe that the whole psalm is a comforting antidote to affliction. And the key is in the opening verses, because he says, I will bless the Lord at all times. It's easy to bless the Lord when things are going well. But for David, they weren't going well at that time. And he says, I will bless the Lord at all times, the good times and also the times that don't seem so good. And again, he says there that the praise of God would continually be in my mouth, whether things were going well or not going well in his sight at that time. Now I want to look at verse 3, because verse 3 to me contains the crux of this matter. And David, in his day of trouble, he calls, O magnify the Lord with me, and let us exalt his name together. And so I want to focus on this tonight, and just to give you 3 points. First of all, we have the progressive revelation of God. We need to look at that as sort of a background. And then the proper meaning of the word to magnify. And then to look at what we're trying to get to, and that is the practical application of the great truth in this psalm. Now first of all, the progressive revelation of God. God appeared first of all to Adam. And what a thought it must have been for Adam when he came out of the dust of creation and looked abroad in the world that was made by Almighty God. What Adam saw was the large picture of the creation, but I would doubt very much if Adam knew very much of the detail of who God was and what God was like. And so Adam had some experience of God, a marvelous experience being created directly by the Lord and put in the garden, but he would not know all that much about God. But then along comes Noah at a later time, and Noah discovers in his day that in the contradiction to the sin of the world, then he discovers that God is also a God of mercy and a God of judgment. And so you have the story of Noah. So Noah has more experience of God as time goes on. And then followed up by Abraham. Abraham goes to sacrifice his son at the word of the Lord, and Abraham is learning more and more about God and learning how that the way back to God is by the blood sacrifice. But from Adam to Abraham, there's no Bible. They didn't have a Bible they could open and read. And then along comes Moses. Moses, he was shown the mighty power of God in Exodus. He saw and was able to, by God's power, perform all the great miracles, and then God gave to him the law. And then Moses sat down and wrote the things that we have in the first 5 books of the Bible. So the revelation of God as time goes on is building on the experience and the knowledge of those who went before. And then down through history you have a man like David. We have in this psalm, David gives us a lot more, and he progressively knew more and more about God from past experience and from present experience as well. And down through history we have the revelation of God as line upon line, precept upon precept, the people are learning more and more about God. Then of course the greatest revelation of God came 2,000 years ago when in the little town of Bethlehem the Lord Jesus Christ was born. And again you have that most stupendous miracle. How that the God who made this universe in its immensity, that as Colossians tells us, that in him, the Lord Jesus, dwelt all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. And so he who made this universe come down into the body of a tiny child and then lived a life and died a death. And so for the first time people could put a face on God. because they saw the face of the Lord Jesus Christ. And then, of course, the apostles, they took up the story and developed the gospel as it was revealed by the Holy Spirit. And then John, the great revelation. And then finally, the New Testament was completed. And so today, we have the Bible, the Old and the New Testament. And our knowledge of God is based on Adam and Noah and Abraham and David and all the prophets and James and John right down to the present day. We have here a tremendous knowledge of Almighty God. But I would suggest to you that the people who should know God best of all are the people in our day, because we do have the benefit of all that has gone before, all the revelation. We have got that benefit. But not only that, we have another benefit. And that is that in the days of Adam, the book of science was barely open. But as time has gone on, and especially in our age when they send out the Hubble telescope and so on, now they have discovered something of what the universe and therefore the creative power of God is all about. And so I would suggest to you that nobody should know more about God than the people who live in this day, because we are unlocking the secrets of God's creation and revealing the might and the majesty and the mercy of the Lord our God. So God is revealed in all His glory and in His infinity. Now when you look at this verse, "O magnify the Lord with me, and let us exalt His name together." Now the word magnify is a word that means to make great, and that leaves a couple of questions for us to answer. And that is, when it says here, "Magnify the Lord with me," can we make God any bigger? Because God is the infinite God, and you cannot enlarge infinity. And so can we make God any bigger? Well, I brought with me a magnifying glass. When you get older, you need to use things like this here to be able to see. And if I use the magnifying glass in my Bible, I can read the words from quite a distance away because they are enlarged. But are the words actually enlarged? Well, if I look round the corner of the magnifying glass, I discover the words in the Bible are just the same size. But I look through the magnifying glass and they're bigger. Well, what has happened? It is my perception of the words that are bigger. And that's what we need to get to with regards to the Lord. Because when we come to magnify Him, we don't make Him any bigger. But what we need to do is to have our own perception of God enlarged, to see Him as He really is. Now, if there was somebody in this church tonight who was blind, and they come into the service and you give them a hymn book, and you announce to him and they open the hymn book, don't know where to open it, and they can't see. And you go along and you say to them, "Well, don't worry, I have a magnifying glass. You take this here and you can read either the Bible or read the verses of the hymn. Take this here and read." And you know it's no good to them, because they're blind. And my friend, let me tell you tonight that you cannot magnify the name of the Lord if you're not a Christian, because you're living in nature's darkness, and a magnifying glass has to have light. This does not work in a cupboard where there's no light. You have to have light. And you cannot magnify the name of the Lord unless the light of the glorious gospel has been shed into your heart. And tonight, my friend, in these troubling times, the first thing you need to do is to come and accept the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior. Our catechism asks the question, what's man's chief end? Man's chief end is to glorify God. You cannot glorify God until, first of all, the light of the gospel has been spread abroad in your heart. And so the question comes, are you living tonight in the darkness of sin or in the glorious light of the gospel of the Lord Jesus? Now, if I was to take this magnifying glass and go in under my jacket and try to read the name of the tailor, can't read it too well because I haven't got very much light. You need to have light. And it seems to me that there are many Christians today, and they seem to just have enough light to save them. But don't get very much beyond that. My friend, you need to know the blessing of the Lord to come and to fill your heart and your mind and your understanding. You know, in our lives, there are a lot of things that we just take for granted. You never think much about them. And one of those things is light itself. Because this is something that God has made. It is a most amazing substance. We said tonight we are under the light of these lights here during the day with the sunlight, and we are bombarded with light, and we go about our daily business, never stop to think about it. But my friend, notice that light was the first thing that God created. Let there be light, and there was light. Not only was it the first thing that God created, but it was the fastest thing that God created. Because light travels 186,000 miles a second. And it sets the speed limit for the whole of the universe. In fact, here's something to make you think. Don't ask me to explain it to you. But when you get to the speed of light, time actually stops. Now, I'm not going to explain it, but I'll give you a hint. People come to visit us, and they want to go to see the CN Tower, and they also want to go to see Niagara Falls. I take them down to Niagara Falls on a little tour, and I always try to, either on the way down or the way back, stop at the Welland Canal, which is the broad highway down to the Great Lakes to the Atlantic Ocean to take the wheat from your prairies and ours out to feed the world. And I love to take the people to see one of the great big ships going through. 800 feet long, 80 feet wide, going into a lock, only a couple of feet on either side. They get it in and out it goes. Now down at the bottom, we go down sometimes. When the lock opens, the ship has come in and down into Lake Ontario, and it's coming out of the lock, and it's travelling along at walking pace. Great big ship going past at walking pace. And I stand there, and in the front of the boat is a man who was helping in the locking process, tying up the ship in the lock, but he's now finished his job, and he's walking to the back of the ship to his accommodation, and he's walking back at walking pace. So I'm standing there, and he's walking, but he ain't going anywhere, because the ship's going that way, and he's going that way, and he ain't going anywhere. That's just a hint. Now you can think about it. When you get the speed of light, time ceases. It's a constant. But what a blessing it is that God has given us this means of energy, and this means of warmth for our light, for our lives. And God made this. The trouble is we go through life and our eyes are blind that we cannot see the wonder and the beauty of our God. Now, one of the things is that God very seldom names himself after his creation. But this is an exception, because in 1 John we're told God is light and in him is no darkness at all. And then again in John chapter 8 and verse 12, Jesus said, I am the light of the world. And so when you come to magnify the Lord, you need to have the light of he who is the light of the world in your life. Otherwise you cannot do it. And of course with a magnifying glass, the greater the light, the more effective it is. And the closer you walk to the Lord Jesus Christ, the light of the world, the more effective your testimony will be, that others may see that you have been to the Lord Jesus. It has been impressed upon my mind in recent days, the great need to pray, Lord, make me to be like the Lord Jesus. Because out there is a world of wickedness and woe, and people just think nothing of God. We as believers should show to them in our demeanor, in our lives, that we have been to the Lord Jesus. Now let's get to the practical application of this truth. Oh, magnify the Lord with me, and let us exalt his name together. I said at the beginning, this is the antidote to affliction. First of all, it is to the humble. Verse number 2, my soul shall make her boast in the Lord. The humble shall hear thereof and shall be glad. Now, one of the features of our society today is the feature of people being filled with their own importance. You see an interview with a sports figure. Oh yes, I played very well today, and I was really, my game was really on, and they tell you how great and how wonderful they are. But the Bible says, let another praise thee. And you'll find that what it is here, that it is the humble who are those who really can magnify the Lord. And I know when we were training our students, we hammered into them the need to let ego go. Because there are far too many Christians and those in the work of the Lord who are filled with their own importance. And even sometimes when they feign humility, we sometimes say that they are proud of their humility, and that is a fact and a feature of some people's lives. You see, ego magnifies man, and therefore diminishes God. And the smaller we are in our own eyes, the greater God is in our estimation and in our view. But the more we raise and elevate ourselves and are filled with our own importance, we diminish the perception we have of Almighty God. And one of the greatest problems is that the people who have the ego problem seldom ever see it. Others can see it, and they can recognize it. But me, I don't have an ego. And so that is the attitude they take. My friend, we have nothing to boast about except in the death of the Lord Jesus Christ on the cross. Because the Bible tells us we are nothing, and without God we can do nothing. Therefore, let us not exalt ourselves, but rather exalt the name of the Lord. It's a united effort, because David says, let us exalt his name together. And so we are to join together and encourage one another in the exaltation of the name of our Lord and Savior. And that requires a united effort, all coming and reminding one another of how great is the God that we have. You see, when we focus on ourselves, we take the focus away from the Lord. Now, God is glorified on certain occasions. If you were to turn over to Luke chapter 1 and verse number 46... Luke 1 and verse 46, the angel has just come to Mary and given her the intimation that she's going to bring forth a son whose name will be called Jesus. And in verse 46, it says, Mary said, my soul doth magnify the Lord, and my spirit hath rejoiced in God my Savior. Why did Mary magnify the Lord? Because at that moment, Christ physically was within her. And how do we magnify the Lord? We magnify the Lord when Jesus Christ is in our heart. That's why that verse I preached in the university on Friday blessed my own soul so much. Christ in you, the hope of glory. And the believer has not only the Lord Jesus Christ dwelling within, but his body, we're told, is the temple of the Holy Ghost. And so we have God dwelling within us. And when he is there, he certainly glorifies himself and glorifies his name. God is also glorified in our lives in Acts chapter 19 and in verse number 17. You've got a situation here where there were some exorcists working and using the name of the Lord Jesus, and they commanded an evil spirit to come out, and the evil spirit said, Jesus I know and Paul I know, but who are you? And the man on whom the evil spirit was leaped on them and overcame them, and the fear of the Lord was there. And it says in verse 17, this was known to all the Jews and Greek also dwelling at Ephesus, and fear fell on them all. And the name of the Lord Jesus was magnified. And so the name of the Lord is magnified when Christ is within us, and when Christ is working within us. Because his power at that time caused others to fear. And my friend, we need to pray that God would work in our lives, because we desperately need to have the power of Almighty God. Again, to our students, I've hammered in at different times, it doesn't matter whether you preach with a loud voice or with a soft voice. It doesn't matter what your eloquence is like. If you have not got the power of the Holy Spirit, you may not bother at all. You need to have God the Holy Ghost. And we need to pray, Lord, fill my life with the power of the living God. And then in Philippians chapter 1 and verse 20, another way whereby the Lord is magnified in our lives, Paul said in Philippians 1 and 20, according to my earnest expectation and my hope, that in nothing I shall be ashamed, but that with all boldness, as always, so now also Christ shall be magnified in my body, whether it be by life or by death. For me to live is Christ, and to die is gain. And so the Lord is magnified when he is witnessed in our lives. Whether it be in our earthly life, or whether it be when we come to die, we can still magnify and glorify the name of the Lord. The bottom line, the antidote to affliction. When we are afflicted, we get our eyes so often upon ourselves. I know a woman, and she came and she spoke to me. Why does God cause me to go through things like this? I told her, I would fear to say what you've just said. Why should I suffer? What does God want me to do? Why should I have to suffer like this? God knows exactly what he's doing. He knows exactly what he's trying to do with our lives. He knows what's best for us. And so therefore we are to submit ourselves to the will of the Lord our God, because when we have troubles. Now, when I went to the surgeon with regard to my particular problem, he gave me a book that thick, and he gave me a video of General Schwarzkopf, who led the last Gulf War. And he had the same problem I had, and the video was very helpful. And the man, he told me to read this here, and when I read it, now I tell you all the details about the operation and so on, which is not too nice, but also tells you about the reaction of some men when they're told you have prostate cancer. Says some of them are so devastated that they can't even tell their wives. And I read of one man who was down the floor, pounding the floor with his fist and shouting at God. When it happened to me, Romans 8, all things, no matter how good or how bad they may seem to be, all things work together for good to them that love the Lord. And our problem is that when we focus on our troubles, it tends to selfishness. Because all we're thinking about is ourselves, and we're not thinking about the glory of the Lord. But when you focus on the glory of the Lord, that tends to sanctification, and it tends to satisfaction. And you rest in the fact that the Lord knows all things. The Lord sets our circumstances for us. And whether we have to go through good times or bad times, the Lord knows all about it. And let's not blame God and shake our fist up to heaven, Lord, why are you doing this to me? But rather to say, Lord, thy will be done. As I told you this morning, the psalmist said, it is good for me that I have been afflicted, for I have learned thy statutes. And the best way to learn them is not just by head rote. It is by a heart experience with the blessing of the Lord our God. So let us pray today. Lord, make my life to be a magnifying glass that others will see in my life the glory and the beauty and the greatness of the Lord our God. My magnifying glass works very well in the Bible. But if I hold it up and look at you, it doesn't look too good, because I hardly see you at all. And I look over the congregation, and all I can see are shadowy things. What's the problem? It's out of focus. Here, it's in focus. There, it's not in focus. That's why I asked for that hymn, "Be Thou My Vision." Because the word vision really has the meaning, "Be Thou My Focus." And if we focus on the Lord Jesus Christ, and we focus on His glory, and we commit our lives to Him, we want to be the very best that we can be, then we can glorify the Lord. And let us continually pray, "Lord, let the beauty of the Lord our God be upon us." And there's one other thing. I have to wear glasses. I spend a lot of time keeping them clean. Some people have glasses and they don't seem to worry about it. They're covered with little hairs and flecks of dandruff and fingerprints and so on. I cannot do that. I gotta get it clean. And the same in the magnifying glass. It has to be clean so that the image is not distorted. The lesson, you see it. We have to be clean vessels in the Master's hand, that He would shine us and cleanse us, so we do not distort the image of Almighty God. What a God we have in the Father, and in our Savior, the Lord Jesus, and the blessed indwelling Spirit. What a God we have, and yet so often we fail Him. So tonight, as we consider the afflictions of this world, remember, the best antidote is to magnify the Lord, because He knows exactly what He's doing. And in due time, He'll welcome us into glory to be with Him forevermore. Oh, my friend, if you know not the Lord Jesus, you're missing the very best in life. Been there, done that. The good times and the bad times. But there's one thing that remains steadfast and stable. Our circumstances may change, our feelings may change, but He changeth never. And as David said, "In the floods of great waters, they shall not come nigh unto Him, because He is the rock of our salvation. He's a rocky island in a troubled sea." And while we're resting in Him, none of the devil's waves are able to hurt us. And God is leading us, as we heard already, He's leading His dear children along, sometimes through great waters, sometimes through the flood, but all through the blood of His Son, and all to home and all to glory. May God help us, and let us magnify the Lord at all times, that His praise may continually be in our mouths. Let's bow together in prayer. Our loving Heavenly Father, we thank Thee that our hands are in the hands of the Lord God. We bless You, O God, that no matter what the world may do or try to do to us, we're still in Thy hands. And Paul was able to say, with regard to all the afflictions that he went through, "None of these things move me." O God, help us not to be moved, but rather to turn our eyes upon Jesus, to look full on His wonderful face, that the things of earth will grow strangely dim in the light of His glory and His grace. Our Father, we pray that Thou would take us safely home tonight, that Thou would take us home to dwell upon the wonder and the greatness of our God. And let us pray tonight that each one of us may show forth the beauty of Christ to a dying world. May the Lord Jesus be magnified in our lives, whether by life or by death. Hear this our prayer and bless us now. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.